Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The sermon I'm about to deliver was written and preached by the Reverend Rolf Preuss on March 29, 2021. And today's message is taken from the first three verses of the gospel that we just read, which I'll read again. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" So ends the reading. They didn't have time to do a proper job of anointing Christ's dead body on the day that he died. The law did not permit such work to be done on a Sabbath, and the Sabbath began at sunset on Friday, not long after Jesus died. So they went to the tomb very early on Sunday morning to show the decent respect for Jesus that had been denied him in the final hours of his life. It was an act of devotion. It was an act of love. They needed to show Jesus their devotion, but they could not anoint his body with spices unless they entered the tomb. And they couldn't enter the tomb unless somebody rolled away the stone from the entrance. It was too big, it was too heavy for them to handle themselves. If the stone keeps the dead body of Jesus inside the tomb, the women cannot demonstrate their devotion and love to him. And of course, neither can anyone else. If the stone keeps the dead body of Jesus inside the tomb, then we are all dead. It was for us that he died. If he stays dead, we stay dead. If he stays dead, he did not take away our sin. It was our sin that he bore. Now, if he took that sin away, he must rise from the dead. If he stays dead in the tomb, locked in the tomb and guarded by a stone, nobody can roll away, we stay dead in the tomb with him. It is touching to see these women on their way to the tomb to do for Jesus what their hearts compelled them to do. Acts of devotion like this are a wonderful testimony to a love which God himself works within his dear children. The women on the way to the tomb were indeed dear children of God. The piety of the women is in marked contrast to that of the men. The men ran away when Jesus was arrested. They huddled in fear on the first evening, first Easter evening. The women showed far more courage. They were driven by a love for the one who had loved them. His love had touched them where they lived. He loved them with a pure and gracious love. He had shown them the meaning of grace, and nobody else had or could. The woman's devotion to Jesus was the precious work in their hearts of Jesus himself. Not even Christ's public shaming and brutal death could root out of their hearts their love for him. It was more powerful than the sorrow of death. That is the devotion for which we should pray. But it isn't enough. No, it's not nearly enough. Why not? Because it cannot roll away the stone. If I love Jesus with all my heart, if I devote myself in service to him, if I imitate him in his humble, sacrificial love, if I do all that I can do, even with Almighty God helping me to do it, I cannot roll that stone away. It is too heavy for me. It is too big for me. Somebody else will have to do it for me, or I will not be able to show my devotion to Jesus. No, I will instead be trapped in that tomb with him, cold, dead, and powerless. Dead never to know life or joy or God. We come to funerals and say words, often without thinking. because we don't know what to say. We want to express our love and our devotion for the one who has passed away and for those who are grieving, but we really cannot do anything about it. When a loved one dies and you go through the ritual of grieving, tears, embraces, words of comfort, reminiscing over food and drink, and saying goodbye to the friends and relatives that came by to show their support, what do you face when it's all over? You face the same death you faced when the grieving started. When it comes to death, we are helpless. Nothing shows us our helplessness more clearly than this death. Dead is dead, and there's nothing that we can do about it. People disguise death and call it something else. Since aging leads to death, evidence of age is also covered up. Just think of the time and effort and money spent on products designed to make people look younger. But time marches on. We grow older. We look older. Sooner or later, we die. It's no fun getting older, especially when you lose your ability to do those things you've always enjoyed doing. But it's either grow old or die young. And then even if you grow old and you still die. Besides Enoch and Elijah, nobody born in this world has ever left it without dying first. Nobody can roll away the stone. The grave is where we are headed. People will mourn our passing, and those who grieve for us also receive the many words of condolences and support and love that we offer people when we are alive. But you finally have to ask yourself the blunt question. What if those dear Christian women had found the Jesus they were looking for? What if they found the dead Jesus? Of what value would their devotion have had? Just a gesture of love, a futile one at that, for a dear friend. The Christian faith we confess is not centered in our devotion to God. The heart of our faith is not our love for Jesus. For our devotion and love, and even our faith, cannot roll away the stone. Is this to denigrate the many expressions of Christian love and devotion that are recorded in the Bible and throughout the history of the church? Not at all. Think of how Mary anointed Jesus' feet with expensive perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus praised her act of devotion as even greater than charity for the poor. The worship of Jesus is a precious thing. What you offer to God when you go to church is an offering of tremendous value. You listen to God. You take his words to heart. You believe what he tells you. You resolve to live a life of obedience to him. You ask that he imprint his holy image on your heart. You offer him your heartfelt praise and thanksgiving. You put offering money in the offering plate as a sign of your devotion and love and confidence that he will provide for your every need of body and soul. You give yourself to God in a humble worship. God looks at that worship and he accepts it and he loves it and regards your praise as a precious treasure to him. But this devotion to Jesus cannot roll away the stone. We come to church and we hear the gospel. But before we can hear the gospel, we need to hear God's law. It reveals our guilt. We are guilty of more sins than we can remember. We have not loved God as he says we must. We haven't put him first in our affections. We have loved the things of the world more than we have loved the one who gave them to us. And we haven't loved our neighbor either. We have loved ourselves before him, and by our sins, we have deserved a tomb locked tight, whose entrance is blocked by a stone that you cannot roll away. But when we come to Christ's church, where the gospel is proclaimed on the first day of the week, what do we find? we find that that stone is already rolled away. The message of Easter is not only that God loves you, that Jesus is gracious and kind and full of compassion for sinners who have failed. The message of Easter is that Jesus, who suffered and died on the cross to bear the sin of the world, is powerful to save the powerless. The message of Easter is a message of God's power over death. And we Christians died with Christ on Calvary. We were buried with him in Joseph's tomb, and we were raised with him on Easter Sunday. We could not roll away the stone, but God did it for us. He did it historically in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He did it historically in our lives when we were baptized and united, as St. Paul says in Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection." Our piety and devotion are precious to God, but they cannot open the doors of death and make the dead live. This is why we always celebrate life as God's gift, and we don't look to our own powers or piety. We look to God's gracious and life-giving gospel and sacraments. And there we see the open tomb, the power of God to destroy our death. Our faith did not bring Jesus out of death into life, and certainly our prayers and praise didn't do it either. Jesus did it without any help from us. He raised himself from the dead just as he said he would do, and that is the greatest miracle of all history. No other miracle compares to when Jesus raised himself up from the dead on Sunday morning. What he did is he opened heaven up for us when we die. He left our sins buried in the tomb. Every single sin we've ever committed, washed away, gone forever. Christ's resurrection is God absolving us. It is God telling us our sins are forgiven and we stand innocent before him. And this is what brings us to church on Sunday, to hear the gospel. It makes God's heart glad to hear our praises because he loves us. It was the Father's love that nailed Jesus to the cross, there to suffer death for all of us. It was the love of God that put him there to embrace everyone's death fully, completely, effectively, so that he totally destroyed it. Death is swallowed up in death, and the death of the Son of God has utterly destroyed the death we so richly deserve. The stone is rolled away. Now we see and feel death. He comes closer. We see him, takes our friends and loved ones, and someday he will take us. But when he comes, he cannot hurt us. He cannot even make us afraid because the stone has been rolled away from the grave. And when you have Christ by faith, the grave is not going to hold you. Your body may be destroyed, but death won't touch you. He'll strike at you. He'll lay claim to you. He won't touch you because Jesus left him in the tomb. Jesus walked out on his own power, and Jesus belongs to you. That is what he says in your baptism. That is what he says in the gospel that you hear. And that's what he says in the body and blood he gives you in the supper. He belongs to you. So death can't make you afraid. You have met Jesus at the tomb. Rather, he has met you. And there he gave you eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.